Do you love white people?
I mean, I don't love all black people. You know what I'm saying? Like, what I love black people, but not all of them.
What determines your love and your hate?
What determines my love and my hate?
Welcome to the Fallen State. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Don't forget to hit the like button and the notification bell. I am about to talk to a very, very interesting guy. I don't know a lot about him, and I'm glad I don't. That way I'm discovering about him. He is known as Lord Jamar. He's a rapper, actor, and MC of the hip-hop group Grand Nubian. Lord Jamar, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on.
Peace. Jesse, thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. How did you come up with the name Lord Jamar?
Well, when I first came into what is called the knowledge of myself, meaning I got exposed to like the Nation of Islam at a very young age. But at that time, I kind of felt like the Nation of Islam was a little stringent as far as their rules and regulations and, you know, how you had to dress and all of that.
Yeah.
You know, I was still young and into my street thing or whatever. So there was an offshoot of the Nation of Islam, which is called the 5% Nation. And that was definitely more youth orientated. You were able to get the knowledge without having to be so stringent, you know, as far as that type of discipline was concerned.
Right.
So when you come into the knowledge of yourself, you gain a new name, you take on a new name, the same way like a Muhammad Ali or, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, once they came into the knowledge, they gave up their slave name and come into a new name. So In the 5% Nation, you know, you have different names like Divine or Universal. They're all very exalting names because in the 5% Nation, you see yourself as God. You don't see God in the sky. You see God within yourself. So, you know, Lord is like another name for God. It's an exalting name.
Interesting. And so you see yourself as God?
Well, not God as a singular, as me, God, by myself. But I see myself as, yes, God is within me. I am part of God. We are all part of God. But we look at our inner power rather than looking outward for the power.
And so what does that look like, the inner power, the inner self? What does that look like on the inside?
That looks like that you are the sole controller of your universe, meaning your universe, you know, how you live, your thoughts. You know what I mean? You control that. And outside things shouldn't control that.
And so if I'm hearing you correctly, you believe there is a real God that created you, and that because he created you, you are like a God as well.
I believe that there is a creator of all things that has manifested himself in many different ways so he can experience his creation. And you are one of those creations. I'm one of those creations. But we are still part of that original, which is God.
Okay. And so you mentioned the five percenters. What is the five percenter exactly?
Well, within the lessons that we study that were written by W.D. Fard and Elijah Muhammad, there is mention of the 5%, the 10%, and the 85%. Now, the 5% are the ones on the planet Earth who are supposed to know who the true and living God is. The 10% are the ones that have knowledge, but they keep a certain amount of knowledge back from the 85% in order to be the bloodsuckers and to control the 85%.
Amazing. And so are you like a 10% or a 5%?
I'm a 5%.
And who control you?
The 5%ers are the ones that are trying to expose the knowledge. The 10% are the ones that are trying to hide the knowledge.
Oh, I
and
see.
The 85% are the general population that are oblivious to what's going on.
Is this like a group of people somewhere? Is it like a club? And who?
It's a group of people. We're well established. The Nation of Gods and Earths. Look it up.
And so, who is the head of it?
See, at the time that it was created, there was a man by the name, we call him the Father Allah. You know, Clarence 13X Smith was his name when he was in the Nation of Islam. And, you know, he was like a student minister under Malcolm X at the time. He was the one that started it and went out and proliferated it, started in the streets of Harlem. Subsequently, after him being killed, it was kind of set up to where there is no singular leader. See, that's the thing. You are, you know, you're your own leader. So although we all come together, you know, monthly at what we call the Universal Parliament, there is no main leader. You know, there's people that are elders and, you know, but there's no one that you can just say is the head, because a lot of times when you have organizations like that, they'll just chop off the head and now the body is in disarray. Yeah. So by not having that type of leadership like that, you know, we've been able to exist for a while now.
And when you guys meet, you say you guys meet once a month. Is it all men or is it men and women?
It's men and women.
And so when you meet, what do you do at these meetings?
You know, it's a fellowship type of meeting, and you know, people will go up there and we'll do what's called building, and you know, building can consist of all different kinds of things. You know, you're going through the lessons or see, you have lessons that you study, and then there's things that can be derived from those lessons. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you might discuss that. You might discuss what's going on in the world at the time. It's not like going to church per se. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
It's more of just coming together and fellowshipping and saying, okay, where are we since we last met? And, you know what I mean?
And so is it, do you guys meet in different cities or the same location?
Yes. Different cities.
Oh, I see.
Different cities have their own setup. You know what I mean?
Is it all races?
What's that?
Is it for all races or just black people?
Well, it's mainly the Father Allah said we not pro-black or anti-white, that we're pro-God and anti-devilishment. So he actually had some students that were white, but it's mainly geared towards black people.
And how is it different than the Nation of Islam? It sounds like the Nation of Islam.
It's very similar to the Nation of Islam. Oh. You know what I mean? It's very similar to the Nation of Islam, other than, you know, we would say that, you know, they would pray to Allah, you know, Allah in the sky, and we would differ from that. You know, they might wear suits and bow ties all the time, and we're saying you don't have to wear that. That you can just, you know, you can come to the people as the people,
right,
and maybe be more effective that way. And this is how we've been able to permeate throughout hip hop, because the 5% Nation has been very influential throughout the history of hip hop.
Amazing. And so is it true that Jay-Z, Beyonce's husband, is he a member of this organization as well?
No, but I don't think he's formally a member, although I feel like he may gravitate to certain tenets, and he's been seen wearing a piece of jewelry that is what we call our universal flag.
Right.
So that's what has a lot of people saying that he may be a 5%er, but no one that I know, nobody knows him to be a formal five percenter or nation of the God, in, you know, member of the nation of gods and earths.
And one last thing I think about that. So you guys recognize one another on the street by something that you wear or something? That's how you recognize one?
Not
you
always. Down the not road, always. Not always. There's different ways to recognize. You might not recognize until you start speaking to someone. You know what I mean?
No. Oh.
Yeah. It's almost like being a Mason or something. You see what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You're not going to always recognize a Mason, but some Masons will wear a pin or a belt buckle, and that's going to let you know. But not always, until you speak to them or give them a handshake or they say something that makes you recognize you in his speech. Oh, okay, this brother got knowledge.
What do they say? Praise the Lord.
Nah, you know, I mean, they'll say something like, peace, God.
Oh, okay.
So if somebody said, peace, God, that's going to be okay. That's an indicator right there.
There you go. And is it different than the Hebrew Israelites?
Yes.
In what way?
Well, I mean, we don't really yell at people like on the corner type of stuff. Although those are my brothers too, you know, like there's different. I like to say there's different pieces to the whole puzzle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody got their piece and you got to put all those pieces together. I'm not saying your piece is wrong or anything. This is my piece that I'm dealing with. I'm not saying this is the full thing, though, or that you have to deal with my piece. I'm just saying that this is what I'm dealing with. So that's what they're doing, but it is a little different. But sometimes certain things overlap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they believe that, you know, Jesus was a black man. I believe that, too.
Oh, I see. Have you ever met Jay-Z in person?
Yes. We used to live in the same building.
Really? And so what's your impression of him?
He's cool, smart, funny.
Why do you think he seemed to have such a radical wife? Why did he marry such a radical woman, Beyonce?
Well, I don't know why you would say radical. What do you mean by radical?
Because she is into that black power thing and Black Lives Matter group, and she seemed to be kind of pushing that kind of stuff. When she did... she performed at the Super Bowl or something, and she had on all this black, and she was half naked doing this. Yeah. What do you think about why would he doesn't, he seemed to be somewhat radical, but not very radical. His wife seemed to be more radical than he is.
Well, first of all, Jay-Z comes from a background of, I don't know if you remember Dr. York. There's a brother named Dr. York, and he had a organization back in Brooklyn, in Bushwick, Brooklyn, called like the Ansar Rules or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So Jay-Z's mentor, rap mentor at the time, was a guy named Jazz. He was a member of this Ansar Rule community, which was a very black, almost orthodox type of Muslim. Like they used to wear white robes and all that type of stuff, and it. They used to be on the train selling oils and stuff like that. So he's been exposed to stuff like that. And that's way more radical than what you're talking about. since he was a kid.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of reasons why he would marry Beyonce. I mean, she was a beautiful woman. Like, she was on top of her game. I think all of that came before, you know, all that. All of what you're talking about is kind of after the fact, actually.
Oh, I see. What was your impression when his sister-in-law beat him up in the elevator? He just threw it that allowed it to happen. What were you thinking when you saw that?
I thought... that's some real shit right there. I said, something went down. We don't know what it is, but that girl right there, she don't care that he's Jay-Z or whatever. She said, I'm going to town on him up in this elevator.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. Like, you know what I mean? And He took his licks. He knew he was wrong for whatever he did. You know what I mean? That's why he took it. But he was like, listen, you ain't gonna keep hitting, me now.
Do you agree with me that men are beta males when they let women beat them up like that? They're beta? Beta! Beta
you
males.
You said that. Say that again.
They're weak men, beta males, when they let women beat them up.
Well, I would say naturally, yes. But you have to put something like that particular thing in context. Like Jay-Z knows that he's in the public eye. He knows he's outside. Like he can't let some alpha, you know, let go up in that elevator, or he could damn near lose his whole empire that he's been working so hard to build. So, and that's kind of how they diffuse some of your alphaness too.
Yeah.
But I mean, if a man naturally just lets a woman beat on him, yeah, that's a beta male. Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, have you ever been beat by a woman? You know, you so hard-boned beat me.
No, Jesse, I can't say I have.
Amazing. I thought that by him allowing that to happen, he lost a lot of respect from other people. And I guess his career mean more than respect, right?
Well, I feel like he showed a lot of restraint, to be honest. You know what I mean? I feel like he showed a lot of restraint. I don't know how much respect he really lost in that situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It all depends.
Yeah. Do you believe that human beings are in a fallen state?
That human beings are in a fallen state.
Right. My show is called The Fallen State. Do you believe right. human beings are in a fallen state?
Naturally, it all depends on what you mean by that. At what you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you mean that were we born into sin or some shit like that? Is
right.
that what you're trying to say?
Right. We were born into sin, and that sin caused us to fall away from God. And now we're in darkness, and Satan is our daddy.
In certain ways, I have to agree with that. I believe we are in a fallen state, but I don't believe that we're naturally born into that. This is a state that's been created. It's been crafted, but this is not something that we are born into naturally. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Like this is the abnormal that has become normal.
Well, what happened is that we were not born that way. We weren't created that way. We weren't born that way. We were created in the image of God. But because of what Adam and Eve did, we were born through the woman. We were born through the woman, and in being born through the woman, we come into a crazy family because the woman is running it. She's angry. Satan is her daddy. And she hates the man that she's with. She hates her father. And she ends up turning the children away from the father. And
but that wasn't her original state either. You're
right.
Talking about something that happened later.
That's
the
right.
woman wasn't always like that.
That's right. They weren't created that way. But when Eve listened to Satan and believed into that lie, she took on his identity. So
see,
when we were born, we were born.
This is where philosophically we might start to differ, and because you know. I'm not one who's going to just stick strictly to the Bible and feel like everything that's being said in there is word for word fact. You know, there's evidence to suggest that snake actually can also represent the Kundalini, and you know, which goes up your spine and helps give you God consciousness, and that story is being twisted a little bit. So and trust me, these people, okay, are the masters of twisting things around and making up seem down and down seem up. So let's not be so harsh. I'm hearing a little harshness towards the woman in what you're saying. And I'm saying that that's not, although that might be the result of what happened, that's not who she is by nature.
That's why the men have to be born again. They have to overcome the mother's nature, return to the father's nature, and take back their natural identity, and then you bring the woman out of her hell.
I don't know if I'm gonna. I don't know if I can agree with that. I see that that's your point of view.
But why do you think men think and act like women? It's not natural for a man to be emotional. It's not natural for him to be angry. But he has the woman's identity. How do you think he took on the woman's identity if she didn't turn him away and recreate him in her image?
Well, I feel like this happened when they created an imbalance in the family. When they take the man out of the equation, and now you've got these women out here saying, oh, I'm the man and the woman, I'm his daddy and his mama.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to look up to the example, their frame of reference of what they have. And now if a woman who's trying to act like a man really doesn't know how to be a man, and now she's confronted with certain conflicts or whatever and gets in a very emotional state, this man is going to emulate that. Or this boy who grows to a man is going to emulate that. And so he's just following what he sees. But it's the imbalance that was created. I'm not just going to put this all on the woman and say, oh, she's evil or something, and we need the man we need the man for the balance is what we need him for.
Do you believe
because
that?
Because she can't do both.
Do you believe we become like what we hate?
That we become like what we, it's possible. Sometimes,
and so
yes.
Is it possible that the boys and the girls, when they are controlled by the mother, they resent the mother, and when they resent her, they become like her, but when they forgive her, God will forgive them, and then they can return to their fathers.
You keep saying return to their fathers in a slick little way. See, it's like you make sense in a way. But this whole return to their fathers is if... So what, are we getting rid of the mothers now?
No,
we don't need the mothers anymore?
It's the father, the husband. Well, really, the mother's supposed to grow up as a little girl closer to her father. But her mother turned her away from her father, so she became like her father. So when she finally get married, if she married an alpha male who has overcome his mother, then he would bring his wife out of that hell that she's in by showing her how to forgive her mother and to love her father who should have protected her from the mother. But he couldn't do it because he ended up marrying his mother. You become attracted to what you hate. And that's why a lot of men become little boys, because they end up marrying mama. But if they forgave their mama, they would marry a woman that will not become their mother. They would lead her the right way to go instead of following her right into her hell.
Okay.
That's something to smoke on, huh?
That's something to smoke for.
So think about that, man, because that's what the problem is. If you forgive your mother, God will forgive you, and you'll overcome her nature and love your father. Meaning, you don't resent your father. Then you can love God, and you'll be fine. But
when you say overcome her nature, that's when I have a problem.
That angry... That
you're
angry,
giving the predisposition as if she has a predisposition to be bad or something.
No,
like
she would recreate.
This was all.
She would recreate in her mother's image, and it goes on from generation to generation until the husband changed it. When he changed that,
but it didn't start. She didn't just start out originally with these foul motives.
Right, she wasn't born that way.
She was put on a certain path, and we both was put on a certain path. Because we're not going to just act like, okay, the woman did all the bad shit and the man was just, you know, pristine the whole time. Well, the man did foul shit.
It's not her.
Too.
It's not her, but it's the spirit that made a home in her, and she can't help it. And that's why the men have to overcome her nature so they can return to the natural nature of a man, because it's illogical for a man to be all in his head, be emotional, have anger and fear and doubt.
I agree.
A man is logical, so he can bring her out of her hell and she could become logical like him. Then she can enter into the kingdom.
I agree.
Do you love white people?
I feel like I love black people first, but I feel like I basically love all people.
Do you love white people?
Not all of them.
How can
individuals,
you love
individuals?
How can you love one and not love all?
Huh?
How can you love one and not love all? If you don't love all, you don't love one.
That's not true.
How can you love one and not all?
That's sure, because, you know, there's individuals that'll show you different. You got to go sometimes the case-by-case basis. Like, you know, I don't like to put a blanket on people, but sometimes people want to be wrapped up in a blanket by how they act. Like, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't love all black people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love black people, but not all of them.
What determines your love and your hate?
What determines my love and my hate? See, first of all, I strive not to be one that focuses on hate.
Yeah.
I'd rather be driven by love.
Absolutely.
You see, motivated by love, because that's more of a sustainable energy.
Yeah.
You know, like, hate burns out very fast.
So how do you determine who to love and who to hate?
By my instincts.
Meaning what? Meaning what?
A lot of times it's energy. By the energy that I'm receiving.
Meaning that if they treat you well, you love them. And if they treat you badly, you don't love them?
Well, see, no, because there's people that I love who have treated me badly.
Absolutely.
And I still love them, although they treated me badly.
Right.
You see? So, no, it's not that simple.
Well, how do you determine who to love and who to hate?
You know, I have to really sit and think about that for a minute, my brother.
All right.
To give you a proper answer, because I'm not one of these knee-jerk answering people.
Yeah.
Let me think about it maybe as we talk, and I might have an answer for you as we go on.
Absolutely. What is love?
I feel like love is, well, in the 5% nation, we say love is the highest elevation of understanding.
Yeah. And what is a man? Besides the body parts, what is a man?
What is a man?
Yes.
A man is one who what I was taught by a man is one who lives by his word, does right by his family. He's a protector. He's a teacher at times. A provider.
You were taught that, but what
and
do
a
you...
A source of strength in the family.
You were taught that, right?
Basically, yes.
But what do you personally know a man to be?
What do I personally know a man to be?
Yeah, for yourself, what is a man? Not what you were taught about what a man is. what do you personally believe a man is?
Basically, what I just said, what I've been taught. Yeah.
Do you believe that white men came from black men?
Yes, I believe that we are the original man.
And then the white man came from black people as a result of black men original?
Yes.
What made you believe that? Why do you believe that?
Because black can create all hues. We can create white in one generation. We can create an albino, but there is no vice versa. Two white people cannot create black. Yet two black can create white.
Oh, and if that's so, and if it's true, why?
It's definitely true. When have you ever seen two white people create a black child?
Some weird things happened. I saw a black woman a white woman who pretended she was black, and she worked for the NAACP or someone.
When have you biologically... without no funny business seeing two white people lay down and have a black child.
If it's true that white people came from black people, why are white people smarter than blacks?
They're not smarter than blacks.
But how come they tend to create things? They founded the greatest country in the world, created the greatest country, and the blacks came. In Africa, Africa is all screwed up and it's by the blacks. Whites are real creative. Their neighborhoods are nice. They get married, have children. They treat people with respect. If blacks are the maker of the whites, why are they worse off than what they created?
Because we've lost our way.
And
the same way that you said, huh?
How and why?
You know, that's probably the million-dollar question. We don't know exactly how. You know, many say it's because we started going against the laws of nature, the laws of God. And this is something that was needed to teach us a lesson. So this man was brought into existence to teach us a lesson. But yeah, all the things that you're saying, again, are not how things started. This is how things appear to you right now.
Right.
On face value, it seems like, oh, yeah, they're the smarter one and all that. But again, that's face value. It was the original people that created the pyramids. These motherfuckers still can't figure out how they did that shit, the so-called smarter ones. And the so-called people from back then, that if you go by the logic of evolution, which is some bullshit anyway, but if you go by the logic of the people in the past were not as smart as the people of today, then how are they able to do certain geometric, you know,
right.
Creations that you can't even do to this day with right. your technological advances?
But why can't the blacks figure that out since they're the original and the white man came from them, why can't the smarter one figure out how they got on the bottom? Why can't you figure it out if they're real smart?
Because if you keep a blindfold over somebody's eyes, keep spinning them around and not letting them realize where they at, it's hard to figure something out like that for a lot of people.
But the whites don't
figure it out. And that's what I'm saying. It's been figured out.
But the whites don't change.
But by a small 5%. You know what I'm saying? That's why we talk about 5%. Because it's a small portion that have figured it out. The mass of the people are the ones that don't have a clue. And it's a battle because the 10% are the ones with the resources to proliferate their message. And, you know, the 5% don't have the same resources that these people do. We don't own ABC and NBC and CBS and all these other networks that can, you know, program, you know, the people to whatever message they want.
But there are a lot of black people out there with money, Jay-Z and you and the basketball players, LeBron James and all those people. And instead of teaching that, they're teaching the blacks to hate the ones that they created. Why won't they teach them to love, and why don't they use that money to build rather than teaching the blacks to hate so that they can get better in life?
Well, first of all, I'm not in that group right there. I'm not.
You know you loaded, man.
I don't have the type of money that those guys have.
What'd you do with your money?
And if you research my group, Brand Nubian, we've always been teaching black love. Okay, that's what we're about. We wasn't no gangster rappers that's, you know, talking about killing each other and selling drugs and all of that. We was making records about, you know, gaining knowledge of yourself and sisters, slow down and don't let it go to your head and all of this type of positive music. So I encourage you to look us up and all that. But why did some of these people do not? Because money don't make you smart.
But you could get a movie theater.
Just because people get money, that doesn't mean they're all of a sudden socially aware where they're going to be able to analyze certain things that are going on. They're the same place where they were prior to this, except now they got a little bit of money. And
so they don't know what you know about how to overcome the fallen state that they're in.
Jay-Z, not a lot of them know.
Jay-Z and Oprah and Bill Cosby and all those people who have all that money. Barack Obama, you know, the fallen Messiah, Big Mama Michelle. They don't know what you know about how to overcome.
I believe some of them might know. But they want to be on the 10% side because it's more lucrative for them. You see what I'm saying? And if you do that, then that's what it is.
So they want to control them.
You're part of that machine, and now you're part of keeping things hidden. They might know a whole bunch of stuff, and they feel like if they reveal it, it's going to take away from what they have.
So they love controlling the blacks.
Oh, that's the maniacal, and not just, I mean, that's the maniacal thing, really, of white people that are in control. That's what they really want. They want to maniacally just control black people, especially, and their tool for doing it is systematic racism.
So,
they'll use other black people as a tool for their systematic racism.
So are you saying that the blacks with the money, Oprah, Big Mama Michelle, Barack Obama, the Father Messiah, Jay-Z?
You made me laugh when you say Big Mama Michelle.
So are those people racist toward other blacks?
You know, I would feel that possibly with certain policies or certain things that they may support.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
That they might be indirectly racist. You see what I'm saying? It might not seem like they're racist because they're black, but if you follow the trail of some of the outcome of the things that they attach themselves to, it may have a racist outcome.
Amazing. And so you believe that blacks are the first on the earth, and then the whites came from the blacks. How do you explain that? Well, you just somewhat said it because you said it kind of brainwashed and they've been dumbed down. How do you explain when, I know you don't know, but I was born in Alabama. I grew up under Jim Crow laws.
No, I've heard this before. I know a little bit about you, Jesse. It's not my first time.
Oh, and you still came on. God bless you, man.
And I still came on.
Right on.
Yes, sir.
So how do you explain then if the whites came from the blacks? When I was growing up, black people got married. There were grandparents around who were married. The black parents set examples. They taught us to work while growing up and be responsible, to treat everybody the way we would like to be treated. There were no black leaders and all that crap. The parents were the example, and when we grew up into adult, we became our own leader. God lead us. We didn't have some physical leaders. When we moved into a neighborhood, we would keep the neighborhood clean and decent and build on it and make it look better. I don't, how do you, and then, so we had the Jim Crow law with the black water fountains and white water fountain, all that crap, but it didn't affect us in any way at all. We loved everybody the same.
We were actually better off at that time, yes.
So how do you explain that time, a period in time when the blacks were better off then? They were better than the whites in that they were leading the way in morality. They didn't hate the whites. They didn't hate anyone. How do you explain then and now?
Well, come on, Jesse. We're from around the same era. I'm not sure how old you are. I feel like you're a little bit older than me.
I'm 31. No, I'm 71. I just turned 71 last Friday, May 22nd.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Amazing.
You look great for your age, Jesse.
Black don't crack, buddy.
I'm 51.
Are you? That's hard to believe. I told you, black don't crack. You don't look 51.
It don't. So listen, you old enough to know about when during the 60s, you know, when they started to incentivize getting the black man out of the house.
Yes.
Okay, in order to get welfare and all this stuff. Oh, sister, you can get it. But you can't have no man living in that house.
That didn't happen.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So once that divide and conquer started coming in, that was the beginning of everything that you're talking about now, Jesse.
And that was encouraged by the civil rights leaders, those people who were running the civil rights movement.
Yeah, all of that. Oh, let's integrate so we could sit next to these people at lunch counters and all of that. So we could go to school next to people that hate us, that don't want to teach us. You know, it's not in their best interest to even teach us properly. And here we have our own schools, our own institutions. We was doing fine. We had Black Wall Street, all that type of stuff. And
So you agree with
integration.
Do you agree with me that the civil rights movement was a horrible mistake? It was the worst thing, one of the worst things ever happened to the blacks.
The civil rights movement, as far as its integration piece and all of that, yes.
But there's no such thing as civil rights.
For integration.
I know there's no such thing as civil rights. That's a made up thing, a made up idea.
What do you say it is? Human rights?
Yes. God-given right. It's God-given rights. But the one thing that you said, white people didn't hate black people back then. What the white was fighting against is that the blacks were trying to force the whites to love them. And you can't make anyone love you. Had they left the people alone, we would have come together based on character, based on what we believe in. Blacks and white would be better today had the civil rights movement not happened. Than it is now because of the civil rights. It divided.
Well, that's probably why the civil rights was introduced then.
Yeah, to divide.
For us not to be able to get along.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? Like, and that was part of the plan then. You know what I mean? And we think, civil rights, it helped us move forward. Like, we off the back of the bus and all this dumb shit.
You're right.
Like that really was insubstantial. Like, so what that I could ride in the front of the bus now? My whole fucking community is fucked up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but I'm riding in the front of the bus.
And that was a setup, even with that woman going to the front of the bus, because the NAACP had another woman. They had picked another black woman to go and sit in the bus, and they had her back. But just before she did it, they found out she was pregnant out of wedlock. And during those days...
Oh, I heard about that, yes. So they said, no, you're no good.
So they got this other woman.
Yeah.
It wasn't like this woman got off work one day. She's like, Lord, I'm tired. I ain't going no back in no bus. It wasn't like that. So where do you get your identity from, your color or your character?
Your color or your character?
Yes, where do you get your identity from, your color or your character?
I think they're both a little bit intertwined, Jesse.
In what way?
You know, I think your color, you know, has DNA in it. And within that DNA, there's some character that's built into that.
And so you get your color, I mean, your character from your color and your, I mean, you get your morals from your color and your character?
I think your color has, not entirely, but it has something to do with the basis of your character.
Like yes. What, for an example?
What you have a proclivity towards.
Meaning what? No, meaning what?
I mean, some people are more warlike than others. It's in their DNA.
Meaning that they're more violent?
More violent. Some people are more, some people are more, have a proclivity to try to colonize people more than others.
Why are blacks more violent than whites? Isn't that part of the brainwashing thing, too?
We're not more black violent against whites. What are you talking about?
I said than whites, but there are, speaking of blacks being more violent against whites, there are more black people committing crimes against white people than whites would even consider against blacks. The blacks are robbing the whites, murdering them, raping them, stealing from them.
I don't have these stats in front of me, so I'm not going to take what you're saying on face value as far as that goes.
Right. I know for some reason they hide that from the blacks.
What I know is 80% of the crimes of white people are by other white people. But yet there's not a term called white on white crime. So the term black on black crime is really used just to cause disunity and make us look like we some savages, like we the only ones killing each other out here. But when the fact is Chinese people kill other Chinese people, white people kill all the white people. There's all, self on self crime in all races.
But the blacks are so, for the number of blacks in the USA, they're more white, so you're naturally going to have more crime. But as for violent crime, the blacks are leading the way, not only on themselves, but on white people and others as well, especially on whites because they hate the whites. Should black people hate whites?
I don't think hate is useful, like I said.
Right.
I think black people should love black people first before we hate whites. I don't think we need to be hating whites. We need to love ourselves.
One last thing about that, I think. I've noticed that in Europe and America and in the rest of the world, white people seem to do very well. They have, they build, they create, the areas are clean, they go to the moon and they build Tesla cars and they're so creative. And then they come up with a constitution that is about freedom and they're like, let's invite the colors in. And the colors come in and they hate the very people that invite them into their own home. Do you see something wrong with that? Should the whites let the blacks in their own countries?
First of all, none of these white countries, these ain't even their fucking countries. Like, this is not this white America, this was not even their country in the first place.
Who was it?
Like, what are you talking about?
Who was it?
How are they going to invite somebody else into a country that's not even there?
Who was it before they bought it, before they came and got it?
The original people of this side of the continent.
Are you referring
not
to
just the Mongoloids either that we see as the traditional Indians? We had Native Americans that looked like you and I that were already here.
Well, I did hear that some Indians were already here, but they were busy smoking dope, pot. They had another name, but they were so high they couldn't even get anything done.
Yo, let me ask you something, man. I know there's always a point when I guess people turn around and ask you something.
Like, all right.
I know part of your, I guess this is part of your, I don't know, shtick.
No.
But it just seems like it's sometimes you try to go out of your way to make it seem like you hate on black people.
No, like, I love black people.
What's that all about?
I love black people. Let me tell you what it's about. I have, if you know anything about me, I have a nonprofit organization called Bond, and we are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. bring you back to God's order of God in Christ, Christ in man, man over woman, and woman over children. Because when I was growing up, we didn't have all this mess going on. I don't know about gang violence and all the stuff, hating the white people and begging for affirmative action and welfare and reparations and all that crap. We was taught to be individuals and to work hard and to appreciate what we have and to treat others the same way. And that worked, especially under the umbrella of family. So I started Bond with the intent to wake up black people, to tell them they've been lied to about racism and all that stuff. It's a made up word. It's not real. And then the message was so good, other races said, oh, I'd like to be a part of that. I can understand that. I need that kind of help. So we open it up to everybody. Now we have an entrepreneur academy where we're teaching young men how to start businesses, all men 15 and up. Starting a credit union, we tutor, we counsel, we encourage them to buy homes, how to save. And so it's about the character of the person and nothing about the color, because you find good in some people, you find evil in some people. And if you don't live by that rule, you're going to lose if you don't live by what's right and not what color. And I'm trying to tell the blacks that, and some are catching on now because we work with people around the world. So I tell them the truth in love and hope that they will get it and wake up and come and become like people again.
Okay. I mean, that sounds similar to what the father law was saying about not being pro-black or anti-white, but being pro-God and anti-devilishment.
That's right.
Pro-righteousness and anti-devilishment. If you move in a righteous manner, that's how.
Absolutely.
I mean? At that point, it shouldn't matter what color you are. So, if you're moving righteously.
That's right, man. So you agree there that the Indian was smoking pot. They were too high to do anything with this place.
First of all, now you're going on a stereotype that you're not even sure of.
I know some Indians.
Huh?
I know some.
You don't know some from back then, okay? You wasn't there.
But they know their history, and they were saying, yes, we were on that. They call it peyote or something, but really it was pot.
Well, that's not pot. That's a whole different thing, and that was a spiritual, something for spiritual travel, and it's not like you're walking around every day smoking peyote. That's not how that works.
But they
bro.
Were so high, they couldn't function.
First of all, they all wasn't doing it, okay? That was something like the chiefs and shit would do, you know what I mean? That was a special thing.
You said something, because of time here now, I'm looking at the clock, I'm getting notification over here. You said in an interview that black people can't recover from the legacy of slavery. Do you still believe that?
I don't remember saying that.
Oh, that's what I was told. You didn't say that?
I don't remember saying it. Maybe. I've said a lot of things.
Can blacks recover from the legacy of slavery?
Can we recover from the legacy of slavery?
Yes.
If motherfuckers are stopped interfering with the recovery process, you see, because every time we try to recover, they try to rip off band-aids and pull off scabs. And now we have to retreat wounds and shit like that.
And who are you? Who are the MFs?
You know, the powers that be, the police, the government, the media, a lot of shit, a lot of different factions.
Well, why didn't they do that to us when I was growing up? Why we had it better then than now? There were police around then, there were KKK around, but yet we black people bought land.
Because you were living in your own bubble at that time. It wasn't the same. You know, it was almost out of sight, out of mind. Black people had their own neighborhoods.
But they still hung out together. They visited. They had churches together. They did things together. They didn't hate one another. And blacks bought land. I bought my first home at 25 years old. I had no money. But I had been taught to do that when I was growing up. I needed to have a job, save my money, buy a house at 25, get married, and start a family. So when I turned 25...
And you never experienced redlining back then?
No. You know why? Because black people used to pay their bills. They used to give the money back to the folks. Now they borrow from you and keep it.
Right, but what I'm saying is at some point, redlining happened where you could have been the most astute, bill payer in the world, yet you weren't going to be able to get a house in a certain place based on your race.
I guarantee you.
The bank would not give you a loan based on your race.
I guarantee you had black people maintained that nobility, believed in God, got married, paid their bills. Have you ever loaned money to a black person? You ain't going to get it back, and they'll hide from you. And then when you see them, you're like, where's my money? Why are you asking me about some money? I ain't got no money. They get mad at you. Then they hide from you.
That punk ass, oh, it wasn't punk ass $10 when you bought it from
right.
me.
That's right. So that's why we had to redline them.
But no, that's not true. That's not true.
It is true.
A lot of the redlining just came from straight hatred, just straight racism, just straight, I want to control you and I'm going to use racism as the tool to do it. That's what that came from.
Well, then how did Maxine Waters and the Wicked Witch of the West with the low IQ. You know who that is?
Who's that?
Maxine Waters, Congresswoman Maxine.
Oh. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
She live in a $4-point-something million home with the white folks. How come they didn't redline her? Look at Barack Obama. He just moved. He and Big
because
Mama. He and Big Mama
all,
just moved on Martha Vineyard with the white
right.
people.
Well, first of all, redlining. I mean, I'm sure they still do it in a way, but there's always going to be those few that they're going to allow in depending on if you do the right thing. You know what I mean? If you move the right way and say the right words and, all right, we're going to let you in to make it seem like y'all going to represent the advancement of all your people, although it's only one or two of y'all. It's a handful of y'all that I can count on. But I'm going to make it seem like all of y'all, the whole race is advancing through you. So I'll let you in, Maxine. I'll let you in, Barack, only to make it seem like everybody else is doing good.
You know what I heard Maxine say to the blacks at a political event once? She said to the black people that the Republican Party want to tear down the projects, and they want you to get you out of the projects. But I'm not going to let that happen. And she named all the projects in Los Angeles. And she said, not only am I not going to let them take the projects away from you, I'm going to build you more projects. And the blacks were, yes, amen, praise the Lord. Why she living in her $4 million home.
Right.
And that,
yeah, that's crazy.
That's racism, right?
That's crazy, yeah. You want to build more projects for your people? That's racism.
Yeah. And they applaud
it. Absolutely.
She's an evil woman. Do you have anger?
I think everyone has anger at times, but I strive not to be as angry as I used to be when I was younger.
Do you have anger?
Did you not hear what I just said?
I did not. I'm black and slow. Do you have anger?
I said, I believe we all have anger.
But I'm just asking about you.
I feel like at times, but I strive not to let anger control me. And I'm not as angry as I was when I was younger.
And where did your anger come from? How did you become? You weren't born that way. How did you become angry?
I don't know. I feel like just seeing certain injustices in life, and just feeling like that's some bullshit.
Did you at any point notice or have you ever noticed that you have anger just like your mother? You have your mother has that same personality and you develop that from her, that you have the same anger that she has.
It's possible.
And when you want to know, how did I become like my mother? I shouldn't be having my mother's anger.
Because she was, of course I would know. I understand why that would happen.
How did it happen to you? How did she cause you to become?
Because she's the one that raised me. My father wasn't in my home.
Did she, Did she turn you away from your father? Did she turn you away from? Did she turn you away from your father?
Did she turn me away from him? No, not necessarily.
Did she love your father?
Yes.
And did she? Did her? You can tell that she loved him or she hated him.
I could tell she loved him.
And why did he leave her if she loved him?
They had their own internal, you know, beefs. I was a little too young to really know the specifics of it.
Have you ever gone to her and forgiven her for turning you into her nature, recreating you in her image by imposing on you like that and causing you to become angry?
I don't think I've ever sat and thought of it like that, Jesse.
If you go and realize that she did that to you and you go and forgive her, then God will forgive. Don't ask for forgiveness. Don't apologize for anything because she recreated you in her image. So you couldn't help yourself, right? But if you go get to know yourself and realize she could not help herself because you can't help yourself, it will cause you to forgive her. So go and forgive her and God will forgive you. And that nature will be taken away from you and you will have no anger. I literally have no anger because I forgave. It was the hardest thing to do. Once I did it, it freed me up. And now I only have love working through me.
That's beautiful.
Will you go and forgive your mother?
Absolutely.
And she may get mad. She may be like, oh, I did more for you than your daddy. But just forgive her anyway, and God will forgive you. Don't ever ask for forgiveness because people won't forgive you. They'll see that as a weakness and want to control you. But you forgive them, and God will forgive you.
I can see that because, listen, I feel like people do the best with the knowledge that they have.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my mother did the best that she can do. And if she did anything wrong that she, you know, didn't understand, of course I would forgive her.
Well,
of course I forgive her.
Go and forgive. Hey, Mom, I'm sorry for resenting you for recreating me in your image and turning me away from your father. My father.
I'll meditate on the wording.
You love your father?
Yes.
Have you told him that?
Yes.
Do you forgive him for not protecting you from your mother?
Yes.
You told him that?
No.
Why not?
Because you're using words like protecting me from my mother, again, which was given a negative connotation on a woman that I'm not necessarily fully comfortable with, but I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
I understand where you're coming from. I'm just not fully there.
Right. You're on your way though, man. I knew you would be. When I saw you.
I feel like you're probably surprised that I agree with a lot more than you might have thought I would.
No, in all honesty, I watched one of your videos just before I came into the studio, and there was something cool about you. Something, you're right at the gate. You're right at it, but you need to go and forgive, and you'll cross over to paradise within, because the kingdom of heaven is within us. And when you forgive your mother and love your father, you'll be right at home, and life will be amazing. It will be amazing. And I can tell that you're kind of there, and just that you didn't know you needed to forgive your mother.
Hmm. Well, listen, each one teach one, Jesse.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's definitely something to consider.
And don't let Satan talk you out of it.
Because I just want to say that I'm the type that I like to go where the truth takes me.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even if it's not popular.
Yes. Well, I can tell you this: once you forgive your mother, color will become unimportant. Character would be number one, and you would not judge anyone based on their color. You would judge them, meaning not hate them, but you would see the right and the wrong, and you'll deal with it. And you would love all people because God would dwell through you, and it would be amazing. I got to put you on the hot seat. It's time to heat this up, folks. I got to put my guests on the hot seat. I got to put you on the hot seat, and I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible, all right?
Go ahead.
All right.
The hot seat.
Is the Chinese virus a bioweapon?
I don't like how you called it the Chinese virus, but it seems like one, yes.
If women obey their husband, would the divorce rate be so high?
No.
Are you surprised that Democrats are the party of slavery and the KKK?
No.
Is it right to take down Civil War monuments?
Yes.
Do you approve of people who buy sex robots?
I guess if that, I mean, yeah, that's a complicated one because that leads to some other shit. But I guess, I'm not going to persecute them for it. Let's just say that.
Were you surprised to learn that Barack Obama, the fallen messiah, spied on Donald Trump, the great white hope?
Hang on. Back up. You said Barack Obama what?
Spied on Donald Trump. He spied on them, on him.
Okay. As long as you keep the other adjective, the moniker.
The great white hope.
And the, all of that, because that's the parts I'm not going to agree with. You're not going to get me to call him that.
Why
but
not?
Can I believe that Obama had spied on Trump?
Were you surprised to learn that?
No. Nothing, shit like that doesn't surprise me.
Will you celebrate White History Month with me in July?
Absolutely not.
Did you know that I started White History Month in July?
I might have heard some crazy shit like that before.
And you know why I did it for July, right?
Why?
July just feels white.
You're fucking hilarious, yo.
It's MSNBC, fake news.
I don't watch it, so I don't know.
In America, name a privilege white people have that black people don't have.
Be able to cuss the police out with impunity and not get murdered.
Would you ever vote for Joe Biden?
Probably not.
Would you vote for the Great White Hope?
Probably not.
Who you vote for?
Don't look like nobody right now.
Amazing. And my last question, two. Number one, will you encourage black people to stop hating white folks, stop blaming and being victims?
Yeah.
And my last question, did you have fun?
Yes, I did, Jesse.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you
Is
so much.
Is that your tagline or something?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I like it.
Is there any information you want to give out, your website or social media site or anything?
I mean, check me out at Lord Jamal on all social media. Check me out on YouTube on the You're Not a Mean Godcast with Rod Digger and Godfrey. I'm starting to drop clips like almost every day now.
Right on. I have to honestly tell you that this discussion went pretty much like I imagined that it would go. I saw you briefly on an interview before I came into the studio, and I'm like, this is going to be an interesting interview. So it went pretty much like I said I thought it would. And so I highly recommend you forgive your mother so God can forgive you, and you're going to fly like a bird, man. You haven't seen love.
All right, brother. I'm definitely going to seriously take that in consideration.
And love your father, and through him, you will love God. Will you let me know how it goes when you deal with your mama?
I will. We'll get back to you.
All right, buddy. Thank you for coming on. All right.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Thank you all for tuning in. Don't forget to like, follow, tweet, subscribe, share. And we have a store there. Ring the bell for notification. And let me hear from you. I thought it was an amazing interview. Let me know what you think. Have a good one.
Next time. on The Fallen State.
The first time you were on my show, you were at UCLA, and you guys were demanding $40 million endowment. Did you receive that?
We did.
Systemic racism sounds like just another word that the deceivers made up in order to keep blacks angry and to intimidate white people to take their stuff away from them.
Confused about how racism can intimidate white people. How does it hurt them?
I'm just surprised that the world is following a bunch of fat black radical lesbians and they are burning down the country.
A part of their organization is to dismantle systemic racism and dismantle the institutions that uphold it.
Is it racist for white Americans to be proud of their heritage?
Yes, because pride of heritage for a white American is about hurting another person.
Thanks for watching The Fallen State. We need your continued support. Donate to my nonprofit here. Subscribe and like the videos here. And tell everybody and their mama about the show.